Thank you. I suspect Jack is going to be in the next Guinness Book of Records for having done more fringe meetings at a conference than anyone's ever done. If the morning papers are to be believed, then we, those of us who've been saying that housing has to go up the agenda, have actually made some real headway on that. And that's very important. But it's something that we will have to go on doing and arguing for. And one of the things I've said a number of times now is when as politicians do, you're knocking on doors, someone who is already a homeowner, maybe in middle age, getting close to paying off the mortgage, says, "We're okay. One of the questions I ask them is, could you afford to buy the home that you live in today? And in large parts of London, the answer is no, you couldn't. And that gives us the clear worry that in that sector of the market, there are problems which are just going to get worse and worse over the next period. But I want to particularly talk about how many homes we need in London. If we just carry on as we are, by 2021, we will have a shortfall of about 500,000 units. Since 1981, London's population has risen by 1.5 million people. That's the equivalent of three cities the size of Glasgow. And during that time, we just haven't built the homes for those people. But we also know that that hasn't finished. London's population is continuing to rise. And this is a problem across all types of housing, not just social rent, not just affordable, but private rental sector and the owner-occupied sector. And it's at all segments of those markets. I'm still stunned by your 90,000, but I think that really does illustrate the scale of the problem. Londoners are experiencing the highest levels of overcrowding and pay the highest rents in the UK, whilst, as you heard, homelessness continues to rise and the use of temporary accommodation. And we all know what that implies for health, for education, and increasingly for the economy. One of the groups which I think now gets it about the housing crisis is the private sector. The CBI now cite housing as London's second biggest weakness, contributing to fewer businesses wishing to expand in London. And we had a number of private sector organisations come to the Homes for London board last week, and they were all clear that this is something that their members are now feeding back to them very clearly. Housing is now potentially going to be a drag on London's economic growth. Yet the bizarre part of this is that if we could build more homes, that would actually be an economic driver itself. It would be a win-win for those who need the homes and for jobs and growth. Just 40,000 additional homes could add 0.5% to GDP, create 19,000 jobs, and inject over £4 billion into the supply chain. There are two parts to the problem, however. The first is that backlog I've already spoken about, but the second is the new households. And what we've been trying to do at London Councils is come up with some accurate forecasts of the scale of the problem. We need to build 500,000 homes by 2021 to keep pace with the annual increase in households. The unmet backlog adds a further 316,000 homes, and those figures are at the lower end of the estimates of housing need. This isn't a scare story. This is looking at hard numbers and actually trying to take, with a small c, conservative approach to what they tell us. On current projections, we will only build 250,000 homes in that period up to 2021, leaving us with a deficit of 559,000 homes by 2021. I dread to think what some of those stats around homelessness and so on will look like by that point. So keeping calm and carrying on isn't an option for housing in London. We need to radically rethink how we approach housing supply, and the London boroughs have come forward with some ways to do this. Hopefully you've all got on your seats the London Housing Challenge, a London Council's discussion paper, and we hope that it will do what it says on the tin, that it will generate discussion over the coming months. It sets out the scale of the problem, some of the stats that I've just been using you'll find in there, and it sets out 11 ideas we think are worthy of discussion if we're serious about addressing that housing deficit. Some of them are ideas that almost everybody outside the Treasury will be comfortable with, and others we suspect will be controversial. But we can't avoid considering the difficult choices. There are three C's that we think are vital: cash, consents, and capacity. We need to leverage sufficient cash to fund construction at a wholly different level than anything we've seen since the 1930s. An awful lot more than the 17,000 per year that we've been doing. We need to get north of 40,000, a long way north of 40,000, and that's a very big ask. We need the consents, and it won't surprise you if I say that I don't think that the London boroughs are necessarily the problem here, because there are at least 125,000 units with planning permission that haven't been built out. But there are other parts to the planning system overall where we need to see more speedy action, and I pick up from boroughs stories about agencies like the Health and Safety Executive and the Environment Agency taking a long time to do their bit. We think they need to operate in the same kind of timescales that the London boroughs are operating on. That third C is capacity. To deliver the new homes London needs, we will have to maximise the capacity not just of the large builders, but all of those small builders who haven't been building houses for a very long time. We've got where we are because of short-termism and a failure of leadership. We need to develop investment and delivery approaches that are akin to the approach that we follow with wider infrastructure projects. And there'll be people in the room who've been bored with hearing me say, if we can do this for Crossrail, why can't we do it for housing? And it has to be that kind of approach, something the city desperately needs. We all need to come together and drive it through. The London boroughs, within their own areas, are giving leadership. Many of us are building new homes for the first time in years. I'm hopeful that in my own backyard we'll be breaking ground on the first new homes before Christmas. But if that HRA borrowing cap was lifted, the numbers that the boroughs can deliver would rise very quickly. There's been a lot of talk about land not being built on and whether we can find incentives to do that. I think many of us have now reached the conclusion that if the carrot doesn't work, then it's going to have to be the stick. We cannot have sites sitting there idle where there is an existing planning permission and they are blocking the building of desperately needed new homes. The homes that go on there is a different argument. One of the things we're clear about is that the private rented sector desperately needs a boost as well. What we need is good quality private rental units as distinct from some of the worst excesses that we have at the moment, which we in the boroughs often have to deal with. if just 5% of undeveloped land was used each year over a five-year period, that alone would add an additional 26,000 homes in London. There are other things that are in the leaflet. You'll be relieved to know I'm not going to try and go through all of them. One of them is about deferring receipts, and it's something that we're doing in my own borough, where at the Catford Greyhound Stadium, personally, I was desperately upset when the Greyhound track closed, but hey, at least we're getting some housing built on it. We're working very closely with the Mayor and Barrett on building out 589 new homes with a mix of tenures, but it's been the deferral of the receipt that has made that scheme finally cross the starting line. So to conclude, we need to be bold and think strategically and not be bound by the delivery detail of current programmes. We need policies and delivery approaches that address those three C's. Otherwise, we're never going to get the scale of building that we need to address this crisis. And lastly, the debate needs to move beyond the housing world. I suspect most of us here are people who are very interested and committed to housing. We have to make sure that the size and the significance of this problem is constantly drawn to the attention of the wider world, because the implications of not doing so are so damaging for our city that we simply do not have that luxury. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Steve.